This week's mailbag comes to us from Susie. I have a Sunday basket win. We had Texas Ranger baseball tickets last year for a game close to opening day, and then everything shut down. I could never find the tickets on our digital wallet, and I kept thinking we would get a refund, but we didn't. I finally called them in July to check on it. When I called, the gentleman found them on our account somehow and said we had a credit and we would be able to use the credit this season when the season began. Well, we're not planning on going to a game since they have opened up the ballpark to full seating and we are still trying to be careful, but someone in our family might be planning to go and could benefit from this credit. I tried to locate the credit last night and I couldn't. I thought I would call them today and I didn't get around to it. So I decided tonight, unrelated to the tickets, to go through my Sunday basket, which clearly, I obviously haven't been very regular about it. And I had forgotten completely that I had put the notes from when I called them last July in a slash pocket named money. I have the gentleman's name and all that he talked about at the time, and it was all on my notes there. Now, I know where to start when I call them without having to go through the whole story. I was so proud of myself and so thankful once again to Lisa, even though I clearly need to stop slacking off about the system. But just having the concept and the Sunday basket station still helped me.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. It's time to plan our work. Oh my goodness, happy Labor Day if you're listening in real time. I love national holidays and how they bring to light the needs and contributions of a select group of people. But according to how Labor Day was started in the 1800s, most of my work wouldn't qualify. According to History.com, Labor Day pays tribute to the contributions and achievements of American workers and is traditionally observed in the first Monday of September. American workers, housework, being a stay-at-home parent, homeschooling, freelancing, entrepreneurship, none of this kind of work would have qualified for Labor Day or does qualify for Labor Day under the definition of how it was started. And I think it's because I've always been a non-traditional worker that here at Organized 365, we broadly define work as whatever you spend the majority of your Monday through Friday doing. It may be caregiving or being an entrepreneur, being in direct sales, volunteering, having a freelance gig, being in charge of your home, homeschooling, being the stay-at-home parent, or being a traditional employee. It doesn't matter how you have defined your work or how you spend the majority of your days, all of it is work, and all of it needs to be planned. And specifically today on the podcast, I want to talk about what is your work, where are you currently working, which may have changed in the last year and a half, what are your work hours, and how do you put your work away at the end of the day? So let's get into it. First of all, we've already defined there are lots of different kinds of work. And this is more of a mindset thing than it is like how you get paid or what everybody else qualifies as work or the IRS determination of work. For a long time, I wanted people to recognize that I was choosing to be a primary stay-at-home parent and to validate my work for me. And here's a newsflash. No one's going to do that for you. You have to do that for yourself. You make your life choices based on the kind of work you have, based on what your needs are and what your roles and responsibilities are and what the resources you have available to you at the time that you make those decisions. And it changes. Like, you know how many different jobs I've had? A lot. One year I had 11 in the same year at the same time. But, you know, I'm a little odd. If we're going to talk about planning our work, I want you to really own your work that you've decided is your priority for your Monday through Friday at this phase in your life. You can pick new work again next month, next year, a decade from now. It doesn't matter. But right now, today, what is the thing that you would say if somebody says, what is your work? This is the thing that you are either deriving an income from or a value from, or you are investing in for future return. Once you know what that work is, we need to create a workbox. So today we are launching our brand new business, Friday Workboxes. We took all of the various workboxes that we had and we pushed them into one business workbox. So if you had a volunteer box, direct sales, entrepreneur, corporate, real estate, volunteering, that has all become the business Friday workbox. We're going to take the homeschooling and teacher next summer and turn it into an education workbox. So that's coming. But right now, for those of you that have business-related things where you're deriving an income, that is a business-related workbox. Now, I know many of you are like me, and you have a Sunday basket, and you have a project basket, and you have a workbox, and then this other workbox. And sometimes I have 4, 5, 6 of these boxes going at any one time. That is okay. That's actually pretty normal, especially in today's day and age. We are multifaceted, multi-passionate people, and we actually don't have one kind of work. We have lots of different kinds of work. In each kind of work that we do, we're looking for a different outcome. Some work that we do is a give back. Some work that we do is an investment in the future for our family or for the environment and the world. And some work that we do is for an exchange of time for dollars. We need to earn an income or get healthcare benefits or whatever. You have all these different kinds of work. And for some of us in our work, we have different kinds of work inside of our work. So I have a workbox as the CEO of Organize 365, and I have a different workbox for the projects that are actually green-lighted and we're working on inside of the company this quarter. I had a whole separate workbox for the book tour. So you can have multiple workboxes inside of your regular work as well. The key is that you have separate work boxes. So let me take you all the way back in time to 2002. So in 2002, when Joey was 2 and Abby was 6 months old, and I had that Sunday night where I created the Sunday basket, Greg and the kids were all asleep and I had some energy. I went into the family room and I laid out all of the piles of paper that were stacked on top of my kitchen counter, not even paper clipped or stapled together, into actionable to-do piles. And at that time, I had adoption paperwork and education paperwork and medical paperwork, and I was in direct sales, multiple direct sales companies. I was also working for an online teacher program. I had lots of different roles and responsibilities, hats that I was wearing. And I separated these piles out into 40 different actionable kinds of little bits of work that I needed to do. Now, at that time, I created the Sunday basket. I put all those piles into slash pockets. And when Joey took a nap the next day, I grabbed one slash pocket out and paid the bills or followed up on the medical insurance or whatever. And I realized this was going to work. I was going to be able to take action on all these work piles because they were now grouped together by actionable type. And I could grab one, take action, and be done. About 4 to 6 weeks later was when I realized that this was working, but my original idea that if I could just chunk this work, I would be done with my to-do list, I started to realize was never going to materialize. Like, this was going to be an ongoing basket that I used over and over and over again, and that I was never going to achieve inbox zero, to-do list zero. You know what? Everyone knows you're never going to achieve to-do list zero because it's not even a thing. Like, inbox zero is a thing people talk about. Have you ever in your life heard of anyone talking about to-do list zero? No, right, because it's just not a thing. So then I realized the Sunday basket, while it was amazing and it was helping me, was never going to go away. This was now a permanent basket I was going to have in my life. But I was getting so much more done that I realized what I needed was another basket. I needed to separate my household and my work responsibilities from each other. So I grabbed another basket that I had, and I just sorted the existing slash pockets I already had between home and work. And I wasn't really sure if I was doubling my amount of work or if this would take more time to think about or if this would actually streamline and free up my brain more. And spoiler alert, it freed up my brain more, like almost instantly. I have never been a person where I go and I do a role or I do a job and I don't think about home, or I'm at home and I don't think about work. Like my work-life integration, mess, fusion, whatever you want to call it, is like totally entwined. Like I'm not a worker and then a home person. Like I'm always both everywhere I go. But because I had these two different baskets, one for my direct sales business and one for home, as I had my ideas or to-dos would come to my mind, or a phone call would come in, or whatever would happen, I was able to write that down and put it in the appropriate basket, home or work. Very quickly, I realized that I could get on top of my actionable home to-dos. Now, laundry, dishes, grocery shopping, like that was never ending. But getting through the medical paperwork and filing all of the prescriptions at that time, Joey was on 8 medications for asthma at the age of 2. Like we had the adoption paperwork, like we had some really big legal and medical things that we were working through. And after about 8 weeks, most of those were done. And so my Sunday basket was there, but it was very doable. Like I could get it done in 60 minutes on a Sunday was not a problem. I didn't feel like there was a never-ending amount of stuff in my Sunday basket. Just so you know, this will happen in your life. And here's what happened to me and where I went wrong. I started to think that because I was done with those big projects, I didn't have to do my Sunday basket each week. And that worked for like 6 to 8 weeks until it didn't. And you will have seasons during the year where you can get through your Sunday basket like in 15 minutes on a Sunday. And then there will be seasons where it takes you 3 hours on a Sunday. It ebbs and flows. It is not a consistent hour 90 minutes. It's a 15 minutes 1 week, 3 hours the next sometimes. So if that's how the Sunday basket is working for you, totally normal. But once I got through those really big projects, I realized that the basket that I had determined for work was overflowing. So at that point, I decided to hire some help so that I could get some more time. And what I did was I hired a babysitter, a nanny, to come to the house from 10 to 6 every single Wednesday. So step one, I made a Sunday basket. I got my household under control. Step two, I started to divide out in my everything I was doing in my household, what was house-related work and parenting-related work versus what was income-generating direct sales work. Then I hired someone so that I could actually work, so that I wasn't just trying to do it 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, in naps, in whatever. I decided that I was actually earning enough money that I could hire a babysitter and I could really focus on my work as work because it was income generating for our family. That babysitter would come and she would watch the kids upstairs from 10 until 6. And I would go in the basement for those 8 hours and I would work on what was in my work basket. Now, for me, one of the benefits of having a household basket and a work basket was that when I was working on Wednesday, I did not let myself do anything related to the household. I had to focus on work. And the beauty of this was I had never given myself 8 hours a week solid to work on my direct sales business. It was already profitable. But whenever I would get a little bit of time here or there, I was a creative memories consultant, I would organize my inventory. I would, you know, fill up my sticker book. I would do the fun playing work things that were not really the income earning activities of making phone calls and writing my newsletter and things like that that I should be focusing on. So I made some rules for myself because I also was leading a team and I wanted the team to be profitable like I was. And so we made a list of what was considered work and what was considered extra. So work was calling your clients, making a newsletter, placing orders, delivering orders. Extra was organizing your inventory, making new demo things, organizing your sticker books, working on your own photo albums. And so on that Wednesday day, when I was paying for a babysitter, I wasn't allowing myself to do any of the extra work, only work, income producing work. And the first two Wednesdays, I had plenty of work to do because I'd been piling it in this work basket. But the third Wednesday, by like hour three, I didn't have any more work to do because all that I had left was like the fun kind of playing work, but not actually income generating work. And the beauty of the Friday workbox and this designated time to go through it each week was that I made myself create more income generating work. I researched, you know, different places I could go and do shows, and I reached out to more customers, and I did more follow-up, and, you know, I did the work, and my business started to grow more than it had before. So about 6 weeks in to having a babysitter and doing work on Wednesdays, all of a sudden, because I was getting very good at following up with my customers and I had a good system in place for that, and I was setting aside enough time to work on my business, I was starting to generate more business than I could do in 8 hours a week. So, brace yourself, I got another basket. So I had my Sunday basket, I had my Friday work basket for my direct sales business, and then I got another basket. And in this additional basket, I labeled this for my assistant. So in 2002, when I was a stay-at-home mom working a direct sales business, I hired an employee 5 hours a week, Margaret. She came to the house every Thursday. I scheduled her to come the day after I had my work session. So she would come on Thursday. And my new thing was to generate 3 to 5 hours worth of work every week for Margaret. So when I would go downstairs on Wednesday morning, I would go through everything that had gotten put in my basket all week long, and I would start to make all the phone calls I needed to make, place the orders I needed to make, and then I would look at my list and say, is there anything here that Margaret could do that I don't need to do that doesn't take my voice or my thought or my decision-making capability? And at that time, this is 2002, remember, our newsletter was sent out quarterly. So we typed it out and then we printed it and we folded it and we mailed it in the mail. So that was the first thing I had Margaret do. She had to proof it and print it and then mail it. And that took more than 5 hours. Then once a month, I would have workshops. And for my workshops in the basement for Creative Memories, we always had a demo. The tables had to be set up. Everybody had an order form and a trash can, a little gift or whatever. And so once a month, Margaret would set up my basement for me and she would make sure all of those things were done and have everything copied out for the demo or whatever. And I found that because I had paid for a babysitter on Wednesday and I had put all my ideas in my Friday workbox and I took it down there every Wednesday morning and I did everything I could do with keeping in mind what can I have Margaret do for me, which is maximizing my time even more. I had to stay ahead of Margaret then. Like once you hire somebody, like you have to keep generating work for them. So that made me make the calls when I didn't want to make the calls or do the research when I didn't want to or whatever. So I would really focus on my business. Another thing that happened during this time in 2002 is that I was a stay-at-home mom. Like I was a stay-at-home mom with a part-time direct sales business. And when you are a stay-at-home mom, everybody thinks you're available all of the time. Well, as soon as I started paying for a babysitter, I didn't answer the phone call when my friends would call or my family would call. And they would say, oh, you didn't call me back. I said, yeah, I'm working. And it took a couple of months, but eventually my family and friends realized, don't call her on Wednesday. She's not going to call you back because she's working. So I'm telling you all of this story just to kind of give you a picture of how these systems that I'm teaching you to use today, almost 20 years later, organically evolved in my own personal life in a very non-structured work environment. But because I kept putting these systems in place and realizing how to maximize each of these systems, I was able to have a profitable direct sales business, afford to have childcare, and pay for an assistant while setting all of my own work hours and my own schedule and being there for my kids when I wanted to be there for my kids. And now today, these same systems for you can do the same. And as you get your Sunday basket under control, you are going to get extra time. What are you going to do with that time? You can invest it in the 100-day program. Maybe you're going to do that. Or you can pour that time into optimizing your work and using that same Sunday basket system methodology in your work. And that's what we're going to unpack in the next couple of podcasts. I'm really going to talk about how does the workbox work a little bit differently than the Sunday basket does in order to get your work done? So now that we've defined what your work is, and I've kind of told you how my work flowed and evolved and changed over time as I started to put into place these systems I'm going to teach you, I want to talk to you about where is your work. And I've never talked to you about this before because before the pandemic, like, people just knew where they worked. Like, they worked at an office or they had a home office or, like, they just figured it out. And I never really thought about where I worked as a novel discussion. I mean, I remember sharing it a long time ago, but if you've watched me for any period of time, you know that where I have worked has changed. When I started Organize 365 and really all of my businesses before that, I either did them at the kitchen table and put everything away at the end of the day, or I eventually took a corner of my primary bedroom, and that's where I had my business. So in 2012, when I started Organize 365, we have this white, like, I don't know, it's just a regular, like, living room chair that's in our bedroom. It was from my parents' house, so it's like a hand-me-down chair. And I had a TV tray that I would set up, and then I had my, you know, Sunday basket and my work basket. So my work basket was sitting next to this chair in my bedroom. And when it was work time, I would put up a TV tray, you know, like 1960s TV trays where you would eat your TV dinner in front of the television. I have those TV trays. So it's very small. And I had a laptop computer, and I would put the laptop computer on top of the TV tray. And I had put my BlackBerry phone at the time right next to it. And I had my basket, and that was my work. The chair plus the TV tray, basket, telephone, computer. That's all you needed for work. And that's what I would teach people in direct sales. You can work anywhere. You just need your basket, your computer, and your phone. I would work out of my car sometimes. I would work in the kitchen or wherever that basket, laptop, and phone were, I was in business. That was my office. In 2012, when I started the blog, I started keeping this basket in my bedroom. And I started working a couple of hours every day and then more consistently in this corner of my bedroom. When Organize 365 was about 18 months old, so I'd started the in-home professional organization company, the blog was starting to pick up traction, I had a couple of ebooks, I decided to invest in a small desk. It was 2 feet deep by 4 feet wide, and I put it in the corner of my bedroom where this white chair was, and I used Joey's old school desk chair with this tiny little desk that I bought for $100. I thought I spent a fortune on this desk because I invested a whole $100 in this desk that was at a resale shop. It had one little desk drawer that I could put like a ruler and a couple pens in. It was very small. And I continued to work in the corner of my bedroom on that little desk for probably another 3 years. Eventually, after I had been doing the podcast a while and I started doing more webinars and I started doing more summits, that's when I went ahead and took the whole one wall of my bedroom and continued to build that out with IKEA furniture. And I used a banner that I would put up that would block my bathtub. If you guys remember when I was doing videos in my bedroom, this would have been like 2015, 16, 17. And then 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, Abby moved into the basement and Joey was away at college. And that's when I moved my home office from my bedroom into Abby's old bedroom. Now, after the pandemic happened and Joey moved back home, then I moved my office out into the loft. And it wasn't until January of 2021 that I actually started working in the office at our corporate headquarters here in Westchester, Ohio. Now, we had a small office. I guess it would have been 2018, fall of 2017, because Sunday Basket came out in 2018. Is that right? 2018. And then we moved into a 1,500 square foot warehouse for about 18 months. And now we've been here for 1 year. So we're in 8,000 square feet now. But when we were in all of those different warehouses, my employees had a place to go to work, but I didn't because we didn't have a big enough place. So when we moved to the 8,000 square feet, I created an office for myself, but I didn't work in the warehouse because, why didn't I? Well, we were in a pandemic. We had a dog. I had this limiting belief that I had to let our dog out all the time. By the way, he's fine. Greg comes home and lets him out at lunch now. And so now I work at the office. So for 9 years, I grew and built Organize 365, basically wherever you could put a Friday basket and a computer. So where is your work? Like, you may have these thoughts now that you're working from home. or you worked from home and now you're back in the office. I don't know. I'm recording this in August. We could all be locked in a bubble again. I have no idea anymore. I can't tell you what we control. We control very little, but oh, so much. We just have to make decisions. And so can you consciously decide where is your work? If it cannot be in an outside office and it's going to be at your house, very few of us have home offices. I don't have a home office. So if you don't have a home office and you can't work outside your home, where is your work going to be? The corner of a room, the dining room table, in your car, kitchen table, where is it going to be? Decide. Decide where your work is. And definitely, you need to have a box. A box for your work ideas and everything that's going to be coming in the next couple podcasts. So we've defined our work, we've decided where we're working, and now number three, what are your work hours? I, Lisa Woodruff, am a workaholic. You probably noticed that. I'm so passionate about everything. I'm always passionate about work. I'm definitely a workaholic. It's not because I own my own business. If I was working in your business, I'd be a workaholic about that too. I love work. I love productivity. I love maximizing my time. I love creating impact. Like, I love working. I love it. So what I found was I couldn't set work hours for me because I always worked from home. What I had to do was set non-work hours. And for those of you who work from home and not for somebody else, you're a freelancer, a volunteer, an entrepreneur, homeschooler, stay-at-home mom, whatever, and you're doing something you are so passionate about, or you are an employee and you're doing something you're so passionate about, you have a hard time turning it off. For me, it was easier to set non-working hours than it was to set working hours. And that's part of the beauty of the Sunday basket, personally, for me. I try not to do any work on Sunday. So on Sunday, every time I'm like, ooh, I'm going to go update an agenda, I'm going to go do something related to work, I stop and I say to myself, it's Sunday. Is your Sunday basket done? It's Sunday. Does Abby have everything she needs? It's Sunday. Does Joey have everything he needs? It's Sunday. Does Greg have everything he needs? It's Sunday. Is the house have everything it needs? Have you ordered everything? Have you cleaned everything? Have you laundered everything? Because my default will be, I'm going to go work. So I spend all day Sunday constantly reorienting myself back to the household, the family, the Sunday basket. What should I be focusing on there? I usually work at least one day on the weekend. I just do. I enjoy it. My family doesn't really mind it, so I do. You may have a totally different situation where you need more time at home and that needs to be your focus right now in this season, or that's just what you've decided is going to be your focus. And work needs to really fit inside of these firm boundaries. What are those work hours? When do they start? When do they stop? Do you have any flexibility in that? Can you work at the office? Can you work at home? Can you do hybrid? Try it. See what happens. And the fourth thing I want to talk to you about is no matter what you pick, is you need to have a place where you can put it away. And when I mean put it away, I mean everything. Put the Sunday basket away, put the work box away, put the project box away, put it all away. I love to work on projects, multiple projects all at the same time. Back again, 2002, if I were to picture that house in my mind with those little babies, I definitely had multiple projects going on in my bedroom, in the living room, and on the kitchen counter because the kids were too little to get to any of those, and in the basement because you know I was working in the basement. At any one time, when Greg came home, I would have 7-8 different projects going on all over the house. And I left them all out because I had these little babies, and if I got 15 minutes to work on something, I didn't want to have to get it out again. I want it ready to go. So in the basement, I had my creative memories ready to go. In the bedroom, I'm sure I had a puzzle and scrapbooking ready to go. On the dining room table, I probably had some project I was doing. I was making blankets of my kids' baby clothes at that time. That was probably all over my dining room table. And my kitchen counter and my kitchen planning desk would have had whatever actionable that day I was doing. And I almost never put any of this stuff away because the time to get it all back out again meant I wouldn't have time to do it. So if this is you, I have totally lived through this and I totally understand it. And Greg never complained about it, never said all these piles need to be put away ever. But What I have learned to be true now is that when you have all those projects unfinished out in the open all the time, even if they're organized and you have a plan for doing them, I never did get to that. Like, there would be projects out for months, like sometimes 8 months, that I never did anything at. But every time I walked by that room, I saw that project out ready to go. So if I had 15 minutes, I could have done it. But you know what? I never did. And so I had to look at that unfinished project all the time. And part of my home organization journey was realizing, number one, some of those projects never were going to get done, and I let them go. Number two, sometimes I wanted the project done, so I'd take a day off work, or I'd take a day and I'd just get it done and be done with it. And third, some of them I may want to do and may be important, but I wasn't going to get them done in this season. So I needed to put them away and pull them out when I was ready. So you need to have a place where you can have all these multifaceted things that you're interested in, but they don't all need to be out. And yes, it is going to take time to get them out, and it's going to take time to put them away. But give yourself some constraints. How many simultaneous projects can you or should you have out at any one time? Really? Like, one for sure. Eight? Probably not. Like, seriously? No. So three? Just decide. Take one project that's been out for a long time, make a decision, and either get rid of it or put it away for later. And now that we are schooling, working, whatever, from home, and everybody's at home all the time, it's not as convenient to leave all these projects out like it used to be if you were the one that was primarily home during the day by yourself, which is how I used to be. Now there are all these other people around me. As I've been talking to people who are corporate workers, and they now have found themselves working at home, not even by choice, they're still mandated to work from home, it's really hard to turn off work if you're not used to living with your work all the time like I was. And even if you power down the computer, you can easily power it right back up again. And if you leave all of your slash pockets out and all of your notes out and all that you've done is power down the computer, you still see all the notes, see all the slash pockets. I mean, what if you actually put it all back in the Friday workbox and then took the Friday workbox and you put the laptop in the Friday workbox and you put it on a cube somewhere and you freed up that desk, that table, wherever it is you've decided to work. Wherever you've decided to work, what if that space goes back to a dining room table or a craft project or whatever on the weekends or in the evenings when it's no longer work time? If you used to work in an office and now you work at home, you still can have that transition of closing down the computer, checking the email one more time, going through all of your slash pockets, putting them back in the Friday box, putting it all in a cube system in a hallway. And this is an idea I just came up with because I don't control the world. You don't control the world either. We might all end up at home again. Let's hope we don't, but let's say we do. Let's have a plan at least. When you have a plan, it's not as stressful. You can get a cube system from IKEA, from Walmart, from Target, from everywhere. Make sure you don't get the little cubes, the 9-inch cubes. I don't know why they still make those. Make sure you get the big cubes, the 13-inch cubes. The Kallax system from IKEA. You want the Threshold system from Target. You want the Better Homes and Gardens system from Walmart. That's what you're looking for, these bigger 13-inch cubes. You can get them in all kinds of configurations, but a really popular one is 2 cubes by 4 cubes. So it's 2 cubes wide and 4 high, or 4 wide and 2 high. It doesn't matter. You can put it on its side or you can stand it up tall. And these cube systems are only 13 inches deep. So really, even if your house is smaller, you don't have any more room in your house for any more furniture, you can literally put one of these cube systems vertical, height-wise, on its side in a back hallway, and you're still going to be able to shimmy on by it. And that's going to give you 8 cubes plus 2 on top if you want. Or you could put your Sunday basket and your work box. And if you have kids, they can each put their school box there. And if you have a significant other, they could put their box there. And you could put projects in these boxes. And then when the cubes are full, the cubes are full. That's how many boxes and projects we can have that are in process that we're going to pull out and we're going to put back. We're going to pretend like we're all in kindergarten now. And that when you want to do something, you're going to pull it out of the cubes. You're going to take it over to the table. You're going to do work for 8 hours a day. You're going to put it back in the cube when you're all done. Now it's Saturday. You're going to pull out, you know, your project box, and you're going to do that on the dining room table, and then you're going to put it back in the cube system. And it's Sunday. You're going to pull out the Sunday basket. You're going to go through and do that 15 minutes, 3 hours, however long it takes, and you're going to put it back in the cube system. And we're going to go back to living like kindergartners. All right. I hope this has given you some ideas of how you can proactively plan your work, control your situation, make some decisions about what your work is going to look like now and in the future. What is your work? Where are you going to do your work? How many Sunday baskets and work boxes do you need? What are your work hours, or what are your non-work hours? And where are you going to put it away? So this month, we are introducing those new work boxes that I told you about. There aren't a lot of changes, but here are the changes that have happened. We have a Sunday basket. You've probably seen the Sunday basket. It says Sunday basket on it. We have a new, the same exact style box, but it now says Friday work box. So if you want to be able to see on your cube system one that says Sunday basket and one that says Friday work box, you can now do that. The Friday work boxes come in slate gray, classic navy, basic black, vintage plum, and sapphire blue at this time. In the past, when you bought a Friday workbox, you got two videos to set up your workbox. That is not the case anymore. Now we have a full-blown business course. I walk you video by video by video through setting up your workbox, what all the colors are for, all the different ways you can use those, and then also specific videos that used to be in the courses for direct sales, entrepreneur, corporate, real estate. Those are all still in there. Professional organizer. You can watch those videos as well. We've also included a 9-lesson playbook that goes with your workbox, and you can learn more and go step by step by step. To set up your workbox, you can do it over the course of a whole quarter, just doing one lesson every single week. By the time you get done with the book, you'll be through a quarter and your workbox will be all set up. Also, really exciting this fall, we are working with a couple of corporations in pilot programs to put the Sunday basket and the workbox into these companies with their employees. So we're getting more information, and we will be coming out with a program that you can do inside of your small business or company team if you want, coming in January. And finally, we have 12 amazing Workbox certified organizers who were in a mastermind group for 6 months, helped us create this new course, figure out what we were missing, plug all of our holes. You'll hear some of them on the Wednesday podcast here in September, giving their experiences of being in that mastermind and what they are doing to help people organize their workboxes. You can find all of them in our certification directory if you're looking for workbox help one-on-one, or you'd like to pull someone into your team or into your corporation. All right, next week and the next couple of weeks, we're really going to dive into what are some specific things that are different in a workbox versus a Sunday basket. Next week, we're going to talk about pink and purple work.